Lord, as I stand to speak today, I'm struck by the juxtaposition, the incredible moment of baptism, where a family says, in this case, this is our daughter. And we want to care for her, and we want to love her, and we want to raise her in a world that's safe and where she can meet you and know what love is all about. And then in the next moment, I'm struck by the tragedy of so many situations where that doesn't happen. Or some kind of evil breaks into a moment like that and steals the love from a family or a person. And that's a bit like our world. There is incredible good and incredible love, and there is incredible pain and incredible sadness. Help us to be lights in this world, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Middle schoolers are dismissed to their Sunday school class. So we've been on a journey through the book of 1 John. Papa John speaks. And last week, Papa John warned us about having right thinking about Jesus. And he called us to worship, follow, and obey Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Jesus who is fully God and fully human, the Jesus who is God's Messiah, Savior, and Lord of Lords, and the Jesus who is the sacrifice for our sins so that we can be redeemed. And it was a call to right thinking. And today, Papa John continues his letter. But today, rather than right thinking, he's going to talk about us having right living. And he's going to call us to live into the family name we have been given. With that brief introduction, I will read for us 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 10. You can follow along on the screens. John writes, "And now, dear children, continue in Him," that is Jesus, "so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know the children of God are, and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. Last week, John had strong words about our belief. This week, he has strong words about our living. And as John unfolded these words, he began with a call to continue in Jesus so that when Jesus appears, we can be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. As I worked through this passage, I saw three phases. John begins with this note, "And now, dear children, continue in Him." John is providing a not-so-gentle push to keep at it in our faith, to keep growing, to keep developing our faith. In other words, don't become complacent. And that's very easy to do. We can do that in any area of our life. A person who likes a sport can become complacent with their level in the sport and just kind of, you know, live out the day striking their golf ball and hunting in the woods and striking their golf ball and hunting in the woods. They can become complacent. We can become complacent at work. I'm pretty good at my job, but I'm just going to stay there. You know, I'm not going to work at it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to stay there. I'm a pretty decent parent, but I'm not really going to work at what might make me a better parent. I'm just going to stay there. And we can come become complacent in our faith. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good Christian. I go to church pretty regularly. You know, I reach into my wallet once in a while. You know, I'm okay. And John is giving that trainer's push, if you will. Come on, you've got one more rep in you. You can go one more mile on that bike. You could read another book about how to manage a little bit better. He's saying, continue in your faith. Keep growing. Don't give up. Don't settle for where you are. It's so easy for us to become complacent. And he moves from that call to continue in Jesus. To reminding us who we are. You are a child of God. If you have professed faith in Jesus, the Jesus who is fully God and fully man and Savior and the one who paid for your atonement, if you have made that your faith statement, guess what? You are a child of God. You have been birthed, if you will, into His family. You have been adopted into His family. He has given you His name, a child of God. Did you see Suzanne's face when she came forward holding her daughter? I mean, did you read what her face was saying about her care for her daughter? That's the face God has for you who believe. And the same tenderness with which Suzanne held her daughter Ava is the same tenderness that God has for you and for me and for everyone who believes. And He has that tenderness for people who don't believe, and He's just hoping they come in and get under that blanket of love. Ava's full name is Ava Suzanne Penswick. They have given their daughter their name. God has given you His name. You are now a child of God. You are part of His family. That's the message He is saying right there. And as we think about that, we carry His name and we represent God wherever we go. As Ava grows up, she's going to represent her parents. There'll be good days. There'll be not so good days. Ava's human. But in all of those days, she represents her parents. Folks, we represent God. And we have good days. And we have not so good days. But God has given you His name. He has placed His thumbprint, if you will, on you. John brings that in at the point because that's meant to encourage us. God is with you and for you in life. And having God's name also speaks of the security and the family that we have as part of God's family. John says, "See what great love God has sprinkled, put a little dash. No, what God has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." God has lavished His love on you. He has said, "You are mine. I am going to cover you with this blanket of my love." That's who we are in Christ. And then he takes the third step. And he says, no child of God keeps on sinning. And you can read this text and you can kind of draw out of it that no child of God will ever sin ever, 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 once, ever. And get the feeling that if I sin once, oop, I mustn't be a child of God. But that's not what he's saying. He's already said in his letter, hey, when we blow it, when we sin, we have an advocate who is standing before the Father, Jesus the righteous one, who will forgive us. John is not talking about, I blew it today. You know, I railed at someone, I said things I shouldn't have said, whatever. He's talking about a general direction or bent of life. When I first began to ponder this passage, my natural go-to when I hear the word sin, and John is talking very generically at this point, he's going to get more specific later in the letter, especially as he confronts us about how we're to love one another. But when I hear the word, don't keep on sinning, I tend to go to the place, okay, what are the not godly, the godly things what are the bad things I should stop doing? I go to that kind of negative, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, and all the don'ts I shouldn't do. And while that's a part of it, it's only half of what John is saying when he says, don't keep on sinning. I put in the service the prayer of confession this morning. It's one of the, its roots are one of the oldest confessions that have been used corporately in the church for millennia. And it goes like this. I'll just read the first part. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Okay, I get that. By what we have done and by what we have not done. Then it goes on to say, we have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And as I thought about that idea of don't keep on sinning, it's not just, you know, be good, don't do all those bad things. He's also talking about step in and do the good things you know you should do. Yesterday, as I was doing my own personal Bible reading, I was reading in James chapter 4, and I came across this verse. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Whew. Remember? No one keeps on sinning. So if God says I should do something, or I have that inkling, you know, I don't get a clear, you know, text message, you know, do this. But if I get that inkling I should do something and I don't do it, you know, I sometimes think, it's no big deal. And that verse just hit me right between the eyes. Here's my example, because I don't know how God will speak to you. Been wrestling for better part of 2 weeks because I knew my wife Susan was going to do her December deal. And I was really proud of her last year, but you know, it was kind of her deal. And she asked me to watch that video that we showed, and when Blythe said there were 35 plus million people in slavery, that statistic just shot through me like an arrow. And I have begun to just look into that a little bit more. And of that 35 million plus, it's actually now 35.9, the best estimate, 50% are kids, children, 70% are women. And it includes everything from you know, sex trafficking, which is just horrific, to families being caught up in work slavery, brick manufacturing in India or other places around the world, the garment industry in China, and you know, and it's not just those countries, folks. It's right here in our own country. And that phrase has been tearing me apart. So when I read James, God said, you got to do something. What are you going to do? It's not enough to write a check for my wife. It's something I need to do. So we can go back to that other one, the picture. So I'm going to get a button made up that says that. I may get that printed on a sweatshirt on the back. And my commitment for December, and I'm going to become part of Susan's team, I am not going to wear a dress. But I am going to wear a vest whenever I'm out in public. And I'm going to figure out how to make that slogan into something that sets it aside. You know, maybe a little pin on the lapel. I may put it on a sweatshirt so that when I'm at the gym, it seems kind of funny to wear a vest at the gym. You know, it's like, really? But if I got a sweatshirt with that on the back, and then if someone asks, I can tell them about it. And if they don't ask, that's okay. You know, it's not going to be the only thing in the world I talk about. Now, I share that because it's taken God 2 weeks to convince me I need to step into this. I don't know where God speaks to you. But God asks us not to continue to sin. And that does mean we need to look at our lives, and if there's things we need to clean up and stop doing, we should do that. And there are plenty of people who can help us do that. I mean, we don't have to do it all alone. But it also means, what good has God planted in my mind that I should then actually do and not just think about. So where is God whispering to you? Is God calling you to stop some behavior and start a healthy one, an appropriate one in its place? Is God calling you to do something about an issue you see in the world? God says, do not continue to sin. We represent God wherever we go. Let's represent Him well. So, Father, continue to speak and challenge us. Continue to love us lavishly. God, we don't want to do these things out of pure guilt, but because we are loved by You, we want to give that same kind of love away. I pray this in the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.